Are you ready for a whole new way of being in the world? Welcome to Living from the Inside Out with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. And our topic for today is something, but I don't know what it is. I've asked the guys on the board, but they haven't told me yet. So when they tell me, I'll speak about it. And hopefully I'll speak very intelligently and helpfully on it. In the meantime, if you want to get in, we could make up our own topics. The numbers to call are 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada. That's 866-254-1579. Or outside of the US and Canada, you can reach the show by dialing 001-760-918-4300. Oh, we're talking about Inner GPS. I like Inner GPS. Good choice, Michael. See, the problem is, I make up these topics months in advance. Well, they wish I would make these topics up months in advance, in fairness to the team, the long-suffering team in the studio. I make up the topics a couple weeks in advance. And then by the time the show comes around, I don't remember what they were, which ones were which week. But Inner GPS is actually one of my favorite things to talk about. We talk about it a lot in the book, Creating the Impossible, and talk about it a lot on the program, Creating the Impossible. And essentially, it's a way of talking about whatever it is inside human beings that guides us, that serves as our compass, that knows what to do moment by moment. It's a way of describing, it's a metaphor for the in-the-moment responsive intelligence that has always been responsible for your best decisions, that puts words in your mouth when it's time to say something, that puts words in your fingers when it's time to write something, if you allow it to, that lets you know, yeah, no, or, ooh, yeah, even if logically things might not be quite such an obvious yes or no. And it's something that we all have. It's not something you need to develop. It's not something you need to train in. But it's something that you might not realize is always there. So you might not realize how reliable it is. So you might have learned to try to rely on less reliable things like your brain, your conditioning, your history, other people's brains, their conditioning, their history, what other people's GPS told them that they wrote in a book suggesting that it might work for you too, as opposed to your own inner GPS. Now, GPS stands for Global Positioning System, and what a global positioning system needs to work is it needs to know where you are, and it needs to know where you want to go to, and then it has more information at its fingertips, especially the cool ones like Waze or whatever apps you use on your phone, about traffic conditions and traffic patterns and weather and time of day and things that just, if you had to do it manually, it would be like trying to send men to the moon using abacuses, abaci. I don't know what the plural of abacus is. They couldn't do it until they had computers. Now, if you ever watch the movie Hidden Figures, I kind of love, computers used to be people whose job it was to compute, to do computations. And then what allowed us to actually get to the moon was the massive increase, the exponential increase in computing power that a machine had over a human brain. Well, mind is to brain as computer is to abacus. In other words, it is the power behind the throne. It is the data pool. It is that in the universe where it's the cloud, where everything is known. And then we've got this cool interface in our brain that lets us feel it, that lets us know by a feeling. Yes, no. Forward, back, left, right, wait. And it's always on, just like your GPS. And just like your GPS, you can ignore it. You can ignore it forever It will not get mad at you. It will not get impatient with you. It will not start giving you instructions louder. It will just recalculate and recalculate and recalculate. Now, if you knew you had an inner GPS, what could you stop doing? What could you stop worrying about? What could you stop spending all your mental processing power trying to figure out, knowing that with enough warning to do it safely before the next time you had to turn or change lanes or exit or get on the on-ramp, it would let you know? Well, probably like you are in your car. You probably, if you've got a GPS and you're used to following it, you probably don't spend all your time worrying about where you're going to go or what turn is next. Because the GPS has that. It's like, oh, it's got that. Okay, I can get on. I can listen to the radio. I can eat snacks. I can do, I don't know what you do in your car. I can chat to the other people in the car. I can daydream. See, that's the beauty of having a GPS, is it frees up our bandwidth for other things. And when it comes to doing well in the world, the other thing that is amazing to have bandwidth for, there's a few. One is the beautiful feeling of being alive, right? When your head isn't filled with trying to figure everything out, because the GPS has that, right? You can feel life coming through you, like a wire becoming aware of the electricity inside it. But not just the energy in the body. You can close your eyes and feel the energy of the universe that you're a part of. But if your head is full, you close your eyes and you just like are dizzy with all the different things that are going on in there. When your bandwidth is free, because you're not spending all your time trying to work out where you're going to go and when do you have to turn and what do you have to do next and how are you going to do this and how are you going to do that and what if they say this and what if they say that, then you'll hear the GPS when it says something. It won't be drowned out by the radio. You'll know what it feels like in you because it'll be obvious. It's not subtle. It just seems subtle because we're so used to listening to all the noise in our heads all the time. Our bandwidth is so crowded, so narrowed by all the stuff within it, that the GPS gets lost in the noise of 1,000 thoughts. Well, as thought quiets, because you don't need to keep revving it up, because the GPS has that. It's an in-the-moment responsive intelligence. It'll let you know what to do in the moment. Well, not only are you free to feel life, to be alive, it's also, you're free to connect with others. You're free to connect with life. You're free to enjoy what is around you. You're free to enjoy the flowers. That's why when you get really quiet, if you do a meditation, if you come off a retreat or a course and you're just really quiet, if you've been out in nature, suddenly it's like somebody turned up the colors on the universe. Well, they didn't turn up the colors on the universe. It's just that without all the other noise flashing in front of your eyes, you can see the true colors of life. I'm tempted to sing Cyndi Lauper, but I'll hold off. Now, the beautiful thing about our inner GPS is it's a factory preset. It's not something you have to have installed. It's not something that needs upgrading. It auto upgrades. My brother works at Google, and Google and Tesla are always comparing notes. Like when I remember going to visit him at Google, and like half the cars in the parking lot were Teslas. And the cool thing about a Tesla is that if they get an upgrade, they just press a button and all Teslas get the upgrade instantly. You don't have to take it into the shop. You don't have to do anything. It's just, oh, next morning my Tesla runs better. Well, short of any universal upgrades, which you don't need to do anything anyways, your GPS is already perfect. So you can either tell it where you want to go, Or you can look to see what destinations are pre-programmed and decide if you want to go towards some of them. And then if you don't lie to it about where you are and try and trick it into thinking you're further along than you are or further back than you are. Oh, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I remember working with a guy in a network marketing company for a little while. He's a really lovely guy. And for some reason, like, I'm a pretty good coach, but no matter how many conversations we had, he just didn't seem to be getting anywhere. And I finally asked him, because he kept saying, I'm almost to this next level in my multi-level marketing thing. And finally I said, well, what is the next level? And he said, oh, I got to get 10 people, you know, working under me to be at the next level. I said, oh, how many do you got? Assuming he'd say 8 or 9. And he said, 1. Well, he was lying to the GPS. He was trying to trick the GPS into thinking he was almost there. So the GPS couldn't help him. Now, sometimes we do it the other way because, you know, we might blame it on low self-esteem, but I actually think it's a kind of a misunderstanding of humility where we'll go, oh, I'm nowhere. I've met multi-millionaire business owners who say they're nowhere. Right? I had one guy I worked with, and every week he'd come in and he'd say to me, okay, look, I got this opportunity. I really don't want to do it, but I need the money. So blah, blah, blah. And at some point he'd done it enough times that just, how much money do you need? I said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, like, how long could you go without making another penny before you were out on the street? And he said, I don't know. And I said, well, figure it out and let me know. Like, I don't want to talk to you until you know that number. And he came back the next time we talked, and he was very sheepish. And he said, 10 years. I said, what? 10 years. What? I could go 10 years before I needed any money. No, he was lying to his GPS the other way. He was telling it was he was still in Cleveland when he was already almost to the West Coast. If you have some clarity about where you want to go, and you have some clarity about where you are in relation to that, your inner GPS will take care of everything else. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about how this shows up in your world. So numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada. Outside the US and Canada, 001-760-918. 4300, and we're going to begin in Canada with Fran. Hey, Fran, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome.
I'm a longtime meditator, so I think that my intuition is good, but I just, you know, went through a period where I have this long time kind of back issue. And then I was told I'd probably need surgery, and I thought, oh, no, I don't want surgery, so maybe there's natural ways to do this. So I started, you know, going on the internet and finding all these wild and wonderful things, and anyways, the exercise that I was doing exacerbated the situation, and now I'm on my back.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought all along I was kind of, oh, yes, my intuition, yes, that's good for me. I'm sure it's good for me. So I guess my question is, and I kind of, I guess I'm, you know, was working off of fear in
mm-hmm.
some way,
sounds
right?
Like it. Yeah.
Fear of having to have surgery and think, what can I do? And I kind of did everything and did too much, right?
Yeah.
And I go back and think, well, where was my intuition in all of this? Where, why wasn't I?
It was right there underneath the fear.
Yeah.
See, that, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, there's so much, I notice it in prayer a lot. Mm. There's so much fear in a lot of prayer.
Mm.
Now, not all prayer,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, a lot of prayers, oh, protect us from this and deliver us from this and keep me from that and mm-hmm. don't let this happen. And it's like, that's, to my mind, not prayer.
Right.
That's just an expression of fear.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing. If we listen to fear, here's what it is, I think. We mistake the feeling of relief. Oh, good. The thing I fear won't have to happen. With the peaceful feeling that actually is our intuition, is our inner GPS, is our inner knowing. And that's just getting a feel for it, right? That's a, you know, it's, you know, you could call it a rookie mistake, but it's a rookie mistake we all make our whole lives.
Yeah.
But the fact that you saw it, that you can see, oh, yeah, that was fear. Whoops. My bad.
Right.
Right? That, yeah. Your intuition's fine. Mm-hmm. You just actually have to listen to it.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask, what does your intuition say?
About
what's next for you.
Yeah, that's my concern also. Because, you know, I've had an MRI now, and so, you know, I was going to physio, but I was also...
Okay, so Fran, I can promise you that nothing that you're saying is the answer to my question.
Okay.
What's your intuition telling you? What is your inner knowing telling you? What do you know right now? And it's okay if the answer is, I don't know. But what do you know about what's next for you?
I don't know.
Okay, see, now that is a real answer. That is not a fill-in-the-blanks answer. That is not a, well, I'm sure my GPS is going to tell me to turn right.
Yeah.
That's, the truth is, we don't know right up until our GPS tells us. But if we fill in the blanks and we try to pretend we know or figure it out, then we're not there when our GPS is telling us.
Right, right.
So not knowing is fantastic. Because a friend of mine said this, just on Tuesday, I think. She was teaching a group. And she said, look, not knowing is the most wonderful thing in the world because it stops us from looking to our little brains for answers.
Mm-hmm.
And keeps forces us to look to this larger intelligence. So I don't know is a wonderful answer.
Yeah.
And now you just get to listen.
Right. Makes sense.
Very cool, Fran.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
Again, not a Fran thing, a human being thing. But I love how clearly Fran saw it. How clearly she could see, oh yeah, that was my fear. Good to know. Good to have a feel for fear as well. Because then next time you hear that, you go, not so fast. And you can get quiet again. And you can listen. Let's stay in Canada and let us go to Banaz. Banaz, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. Hello.
Oh, go me. Hello. What are we going to talk about today?
Thank you so much for taking my call, Michael.
A pleasure.
So I have a question, which is about trusting as an empath, but trusting with healthy boundaries, because I've been in many abusive situations, trusting the wrong people. And so now I'm in the practice of, like, I'm doing forgiveness work now, but I fear connecting with people and I fear repeating the cycle of, you know, trauma and abuse and just like going through what I've gone through, a lot of narcissistic people in my life. So I'm scared to trust again.
Yeah. Well, what is it that you're trying to trust?
Trusting that I can show up as myself. And showing up as myself is very scary for me because I feel like I perform a lot, try to be nice and put up a good face, where deep down I feel fear. Like I just don't want to be in certain situations.
Yeah. Okay. So do you want to turn up as yourself more?
Sorry, do I want to...
turn up as yourself more?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So why do you need trust in order to do that?
Trust?
Like if I want a pizza, I don't need to trust that I'll be able to get a pizza to go after a pizza. I mean, I'll look for a pizza and I'll either find a pizza or I won't.
Right. Trust for me gives me that comfort, almost feeling that it's safe for me to go after this.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. No, and I'm not trying to be funny. I see what you're saying. That's all. I literally meant that. sorry. It's awful when I can't even tell when I'm being sarcastic. But so here's how the GPS works in situations like that, as far as I can tell. And it's a metaphor, so this isn't exact, okay? Is we have within us, part of the GPS is a bullshit detector.
Yes.
Part of it is a clear and present danger detector.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is a guidance system, right? It's all of the above. Now,
yes.
If we're willing to really listen, we'll hear it. There's a saying I first came across it in the leadership world, that people are always telling you who they are. The problem is you don't listen.
Mm.
Now, if you were willing to listen to that more, to not leap into the fantasy of who you hope they are, or hide under the fears of who you're afraid they are, you'll do fine.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And there might be a learning curve, right? I'm not saying you can't make a mistake. Of course you can. You will, right? I do. But I don't make many. And I catch them quick because I'm listening. And I've learned to kind of get suspicious when I'm going, well, I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure they didn't mean that. I'm sure that, like, yeah, that sounds a lot to me like somebody who doesn't like what the GPS told them.
Yeah, that sounds like me. It's like when I see a negative trait or something that just signaling me red flag or like yellow flag.
Yeah.
And then I feel bad because I feel like I am being so pessimistic and negative. And
so, okay, would it help? I totally get it, Vanessa, but would it help if you saw that you weren't being anything? Your burglar alarm was going off. That's why you have a burglar alarm, so you don't have to be judgmental.
That's true. Yeah, I have had so many of these burglar alarms.
Well, and maybe that's the problem, is you've been ignoring them for so long, you just don't hear them as burglar alarms anymore. You hear them as judgment. Yeah. Like, and I can tell you, all right, just from the fact that you can laugh at this means you heard something.
Yeah.
All right, so go out there and just play with it a little bit and trust it a little bit more. And the first time that you kind of go, holy, whatever, whether you swear or not, holy whatever, that's the burglar alarm. I want you to call back and let me know.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Michael.
A pleasure, Vanessa. I love that. I don't know if you guys can hear how smart we all are, how we already know. We're already hearing it. We're just ignoring it. We're just convincing ourselves. We're talking ourselves out of it. We're talking ourselves into it. The GPS works perfectly, and we are perfectly free to ignore it. But there's a cost to that. Let's go to Washington and speak with Jennifer. Jennifer, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi. This seems like the perfect topic for me. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I am facing some new choices in life, or rather I'm giving myself those choices because I'm feeling more energy, more positivity, more space. Mm-hmm. In my life, I have two little ones, but they're getting a little older, and I'm feeling better and stronger. And so I've got all these new ideas that revolve around businesses and merging business with my goals and my dreams, not my goals, but my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been trying to tune into that inner GPS, as you put it, but I don't always know how. and I've got so much mind chatter sometimes. I feel uptight a lot, and I've noticed a lot of fear as well, and I've significantly toned that down just recently, and it's really helpful. But, you know, I want to be able to plan. But if
how did you do that? How did you tone down the fear?
How did I tone down the fear? I took a class, actually, in emotion coaching. It was for parents. Okay. And I saw that a lot of what I was doing was trying to control the situation and control my children based upon my fears.
Cool.
Fears of everything.
Neat thing to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And also,
so let me, I'm going to build on that because that's going to be the answer to whatever question you're about to ask me. Okay. And what changed it for you wasn't the class. It wasn't any techniques they taught in the class. It was the insight you had while you were there where you saw, oh, I'm doing something that makes no sense to keep doing. And once you saw that, you just stopped doing it. Insight is what transforms us. Insight is what changes us. So insight is what's going to get you more in touch with your GPS in whatever area that you want. You're going to see something about how it works. You're going to see something about what you've been doing that will make it so obvious that if it's something that doesn't work, you'll stop doing it. And if it's something that does work, you'll do it more without any practice. Like, I don't know if you've heard, have you heard my shortcut analogy? Okay. So people talk about, oh yes, but so you've got to practice it and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. If you've been going to work the same way for 30 years and I show you a shortcut that will get you to work in a third of the time with none of the traffic, how many times do I have to show you the shortcut before you start taking it? Right. That's how insight works. Once we get it, once we see it, we're done. Now, maybe one day we're really distracted. We start out going the old way. But then we wake up again and, God, what am I doing? And then we're back to the new way. That's how we work. We're brilliant. We just think we're more complicated than that. And we think life's more complicated than that. Now, having said all that, what's your actual question?
Yeah, I know things are way more make things so complicated. Well, my actual question was tune into that.
Ooh, Jennifer, I'm losing you. I don't know if you've moved with your phone, but it's now very hard to hear you.
Okay, I'll move. Can you hear me now?
A little bit better.
Okay. GPS and that.
Oh, you know what? I've lost you. What I'm going to do, Jennifer, I'm going to put you on hold. And hopefully if the guys on the board are listening, they'll be able to check in with you and just make sure. And when the line's good, I'll bring you back on. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So, let me just build a little bit on what I said to Jennifer before we move to the next call or back to Jennifer if she's good. I'm just letting them know. Can you check with Jennifer? They're already on it. Look at that. Like a well-oiled team that needs more oil. we are these amazing potentials, but we think we have to do everything on manual and it's designed to work automatically. Now it's fun working a manual. If you've ever driven a manual car, great. Like it's really fun to do that, but it is much more complicated than an automatic because an automatic does it all for you. We are an automatic and we try and run ourselves like we're a manual. Our psychologies work fine, but we go in there and try and mess with them all the time. When you see what's actually going on, it changes. And that's been sort of thematic in each of the callers today is they got it. Oh, I thought I was following my intuition, but actually that was fear. Oh, okay. Well, don't do that. Good point. Right? I was doing all this crazy stuff to try and control my kids because of my fear and it wasn't working and it was just making it worse. Oh, so I stopped doing it. Great. like we're really smart. We just have to let ourselves be. Let's go out to Boston and talk to Janique. Janique, you over the Patriots game yet?
Hi there. Can you hear me?
I can. You can. You over the Patriots thing? You past that? I'm not, just to, so you know. I'm still dwelling on it, as you can tell. But
no, my boyfriend dwells a little heavily. He's got that covered, so I don't have to.
Oh, there you go. Well, see, this is great. See, it's like the GPS does it so we don't have to worry, and your boyfriend does it so you don't have to be upset about the Patriots. This is perfect.
That's right. I don't worry about it a bit.
All right. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, I have typically been let me put it this way. As a child, I was an extremely well-honed GPS system and mm-hmm. really lived my life that way. You know, stuff happens, it gets clogged over, et cetera. And I'm really in the process. I've always had just enough of it still working for me that I know it's in there, even though it gets lost or clogged over or whatever in different ways. But I there's still been a strong enough, you know, heartbeat, if you will. I know mm-hmm. it's been there. Yeah. And I'm in a period of, I think, really kind of accelerated internal healing and growth. And I feel like I'm really just sort of arriving home. I'm coming back to myself in a really strong way. So I am feeling some strong urges and inner calling towards, you know, my path and sort of the next point, my purpose and things like that. In a general sense, I feel it very strongly. In a day-to-day sense, I'm not doing the technical process of writing in the way that's going to bring kind of the next step, hopefully, closer to fruition. And I don't know whether I should just not worry about it and follow that and let it come out of me in its own time, or if I should be trying to, you know, quote unquote, force the issue a little bit. I don't know if there's a fear. I don't know if there's something hanging me up, or if it's perfectly fine that it's going at this pace, which in a logical sense seems a little bit slow.
No, I'm going to ask you a strange question.
Okay. You ask great questions, so whatever you ask, it's going to be great, I'm sure.
Why don't you know?
Yes, I have the answer to that. I actually had that question in my own mind. Because I've had periods before, a lot of them, where through, you know, depression, self-punishment, all kinds of things, I didn't let things flow out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get concerned if something isn't flowing, that I might be doing it from that place instead of from another place. That's why I don't know.
Okay. So if we took the idea of patterns and tendencies off the table,
mm-hmm.
and we just dealt with this situation in this moment, what do you know, what don't you know?
I know that I'm growing very quickly. I know that I'm processing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm rediscovering all of the ways in which I'm fine, completely fine, and probably better than fine. I know that I am a little impatient to quote-unquote get on with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually in two online classes, one of which I think is really the miracle of my life. I think I'm exactly where I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel great about that stuff. I'm being creative in other ways besides my writing.
Mm-hmm.
But writing is one of those things that people have, you know, there are many things that people tell you throughout your life. You should do this, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. One of the things that people have often told me is you should write. And it's kind of a part of myself that I've only done more in an academic sense,
mm-hmm.
less so from, but it really, I mean, it speaks strongly to me. And I know it's one of the things that I am. I know it very clearly. I don't know why that one thing. I mean, I'm writing stream of consciousness stuff,
right,
but I'm not putting it together technically. So I'm like, do I just continue to let that unfold? Because
well, wait, hang on. What's your other option? Force something randomly?
No. Start to organize it and pull it together into something more, you know, like a product, you know?
Okay, so Janique, if I gave you a choice of two jobs tomorrow, or in fact, later today, right? So you're going to work for me, I'm going to pay you, and I'm going to pay you the same, whichever of these two jobs you take. Either do more stream of consciousness writing or do some organizing on the stream of consciousness writing you've got. Which job do you want?
It depends what zone I'm in.
No. I am asking you, Janique, now. I am going to pay you money to, when you get off the phone with me, either write stream of consciousness or organize some of your existing stream of consciousness writing. Which one would you like me to pay you for? I'm paying you the same amount for either.
The interesting thing is I don't know.
Okay, so if I flipped a coin, you'd be cool either way?
I might be.
Well, okay. I mean, hang on. Now I got to see if I've actually got a coin. Hang on. All right. Okay. Heads, you're going to do the stream of consciousness. Tails, you're going to organize writing. Okay. You willing to abide by the coin flip? Because if it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, right? If you don't know, why would it matter?
I think just hung me up. I think the idea is like, if I'm getting paid for something, I'll do whatever. I think that's whatever the person said. Oh, but it's still my choice. I don't know.
Right. So, okay, I'm going to flip the coin. Okay, so heads is stream of consciousness, tails is organizing. And dun, 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 it's tails. Okay, this afternoon, organize some writing.
Okay,
and see what that's
like.
Well, neither do I, but I know one way to find out.
Okay.
Go organize some writing and you'll find out whether or not you can.
Okay.
How about that?
All right.
And if your head explodes while doing it, feel free to call back.
Okay.
All right, Janique. Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
Look, we all get stuck. I get it. We particularly get stuck when we think we can think our way out of thought. Right? It's like the tar baby in the Uncle Remus stories, that once you have tar on your hand and then you use that hand to try and push away from the thing, then the other hand gets stuck, and then you use your feet to try and push away, but then your feet get stuck. Like trying to think your way out of a thought created muddle. It just doesn't work. So what do you do? Well, as best you can, in whatever way occurs to you, you just put it all down. You just let it all go. And either do something or do nothing. But just take your hands off the tar, baby. Take your thinking off your thoughts. Let it go somewhere else. It will. Thought wanders beautifully. Right? And if we stop holding it in place, it'll wander off somewhere else. Right? It's like one of those cat toys. We used to have a cat toy that shot a laser light, and it kind of randomly moved around to drive the cat crazy. And with us, our cats didn't care, but our dog just thought this thing was evil and was continually trying to catch the evil lasers that were coming out of it. Well, you could hold it in place manually, but as soon as you let go, it just started moving around again. Well, thought is like that. As soon as we stop fixating on whatever it is we think we're supposed to be thinking about, new thought comes to mind. And then if we don't fixate on that, new thought comes to mind. And at some point, inevitably, helpful thought, useful thought, practical thought, thought that we actually like comes to mind. And then we can go with that for a little while till that starts to feel kind of sticky. And then we can let it go again and let new thought come to mind. I mean, that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of how we're made. Let us go to Indy and speak with Paul. Paul, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi there. Thanks again for taking my call. I was curious if you could, I guess it's probably a little off topic, but maybe you don't mind. You could just give.
I didn't even know what the topic was at the beginning of the show.
If you could give a little mini lecture about perfectionism from the perspective of the three principles. I don't have a specific question. I just was interested in it from a you know, generic standpoint, if that's something you're willing to do.
Well, let me tell you, I'll meet you halfway. I'll say what occurs to me to say about it, but then you feed back to me what you hear. And let's see if we can shape it up a little bit, okay?
That's fair.
All right. So generally speaking, perfectionism is the word that we use to either describe when we get overly concerned with how something looks or how it will be received to the point of not letting it go out into the world and finding out, right? So that's that's one thing we use the word for perfectionism for, is I'm scared to see how people will react to this or whether or not it will be able to stand. So I'm going to just keep working on it to prevent it from being put to the test, because I'm scared of what might happen if I put it to the test. That's one thing we use the word perfectionism to describe. Or the other thing we use the word perfectionism to describe is where it would be sort of like a parent who is teaching their kid to ride a bike, but never lets go of the bike. So even when the kids, they're like running behind the bike, still holding on to the seat, because we think without our control, it will fall over once it's out in the world. So those are the two things I generally hear described by the word perfectionism. And in both cases, they're really logical responses to a misunderstanding of how the universe works. That if we could step back, if we could look at it from the 500 foot view, we would see that the nature of things is they go in and out of balance. That, you know, there's a continual course correction in life. A lot of philosophies and psychologies have taken the fact that airplanes are off course 97% of the time as an example of that. And I've heard stats ranging from 95 to 97%, but that if at any given point you drew a straight line from the nose of the airport, it would not be aimed at the destination 97% of the time. Now, if you know that, then you're just not going to freak out when it doesn't seem to be going exactly the way you hope it's going to go. Now, the other misunderstanding is that in some way, the world is better, or my baby is better, or my project is better without getting a chance to test itself against the world. And the metaphor that comes to mind for that is, imagine that you didn't understand how birds learn how to fly. And you saw a mama bird pushing its baby towards the end of the nest, and the baby bird's going tweet, 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 or whatever baby birds do. And you're going, oh my God, it's bird abuse. And you run to kind of save the baby bird, and you catch the baby bird. And it never learns how to fly, because the way baby birds learn how to fly is that intuitively, instinctively, by their inner GPS, the mama bird knows when the baby bird is developed enough to fly. But it also knows that instinct won't kick in until it has to. So it pushes the baby out of the nest so that instinct will kick in. The inner GPS in the baby bird will kick in, and it will spread its wings, and it will discover, holy cow, when I spread my wings and move them in this way that feels so natural, it's like I've done it all my life, even though I've never done it before, I can fly. Well, that's the misunderstanding at the heart of the never letting it out of your hands, never letting it out into the world, is we don't see that projects have a life of their own. Businesses have a life of their own. People have a life of their own, but they often don't get the chance to discover that until they have to. So if you saw that, you wouldn't be inclined to catch the baby bird or be appalled at the behavior of the mother, because you would understand this is how it's meant to go and it's perfect. You wouldn't freak out when the plane was off course and call them and go, "Mayday, mayday, the liner is off course by 0.01. You would just go, "Oh yeah, okay, it's doing its airplane thing." And you would chillax, as the phrase goes, and life would unfold. So that's what comes to mind when you ask me about perfectionism. Now you tell me, what do you hear in that that's helpful?
Well, I guess all of it is. I guess I consider myself a recovering perfectionist, meaning that about 10 years ago, I didn't realize how much it had it basically controlled my entire life. and when it hit me, I just was bowled over how much it just ruled everything. And so I've been able to let go of most of it. I still have, you know, relapses periodically, but I'm interested in the three principles. So I was just kind of interested in your perspective. I've been trying to, I guess, shows signs of perfectionism, where I've sort of been interested in trying to, you know, write a blog or do something to help perfectionists, but haven't felt like I had really anything to contribute that's new or interesting or helpful that hasn't already been said. So, I'm probably caught up in that by not taking any action on it. But I was just interested in your thoughts on it, because I think you've spoken to it periodically, but I wasn't sure that you'd, you know, just kind of honed in on it. And
here's one thing, Paul. So there's two things that I hear in that. I'll just offer them up for what they're worth. The first is, the only way you're going to know whether or not you have anything to offer is to offer something.
True.
Right? So that's just how it works. Like, the only way the baby bird can find out if it can fly is it falls out of the nest. So sure. you write something and hit send, and Facebook will tell you whether or not it helped.
Yep.
Right? That's it. That's all you got. That's all any of us have. Right? Now, the second thing is, if the question had been, what would I say to someone who was suffering from perfectionism, what I would actually say was probably none of what I said, but I would probably, point to the fact that there's no such thing as perfectionism. It's right. A label that we put around certain behaviors that we recognize as unhelpful. But if we start to think it's an actual diagnosis of an actual disease, then the label itself has become the most unhelpful thing in the room. Basically, sometimes you get really insecure and it gets in the way of doing stuff. And if you understand a little bit more about insecurity and where it comes from, you do that less and you get more done.
Very good.
Very cool, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Let's sneak one more in if we can. Let's go to Canada. Back to Canada. It's Canada Day. And speak with Lisa. Lisa, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Wow. Thank you, Paul. I needed to hear that.
There you go. Paul, apparently, if you're still listening, it was helpful. So good to know, right?
Yes, total. I'm a recovering perfectionist. Well, I'm recovered. Processing at the speed of light, sorry. Okay, so, yeah, I had a hard time when they said, "What's your question?" Because I'm like, only one? So they had to focus me. So, okay, I'll go with what they focused me on.
Okay.
And then I'll ask what I also wanted to ask, sort of. Again, processing speed of light. Okay, job. I know what one of them is. I've always known what one of them is. And I've always been doing it secretly.
Okay, what's that job? What's your secret
writing.
Job? Okay,
writing.
So you're a secret writer. Yes. Does a secret writer mean that you just don't share your writing, or does it mean that you don't even write? It's that big
no,
a secret.
Well, okay. Good question. Used to be that, well, for a very long time, I didn't write. Well, okay, I wrote in my head, just not on paper. Now, I'm writing more than I've written in forever, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually sharing, which is a huge step, because I don't usually do that.
Okay.
Huge, like holy crap, huge step.
Okay.
Because if people get to read my writing, they get me. And I don't usually give me. I'll give you pieces of me, but not all of me. Do you know what I mean?
I do, and I'm conscious of I've got a countdown timer in front of me.
Yes,
I'd love to actually offer you something. So if you can put it into a question, I'll do my best to put into an answer.
Okay, so here's my question. I know writing's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Time crunch. Not just yours, mine. EI's running out.
Sorry, what's running out?
EI, sorry. In Canada, employment insurance.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like, as in 2 more weeks.
Okay. So, so when you stop getting money, mm-hmm. you lose the ability to write. Because I'm thinking of like Nelson Mandela, who wrote his memoirs on a toilet roll in prison, had it destroyed, and wrote it again. And I don't think he was on EI.
Thank you. That's what I thought.
There you go.
I'm letting the fear, was letting the fear second guess me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that sometimes.
Yeah, okay.
Very cool. Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, bye.
You know, the thing I've heard today, I don't know what you've heard, but the thing I've heard today is we already know. Like, it takes half a second of stepping away from the noise to know. Oh, God, it was just fear. Oh, God, this was being driven by fear. Oh, God, this was being drowned out by insecurity. Oh, God, I didn't see it because. It's like waking up from a dream. Right? And that's the nature of thought. We fall asleep and we dream beautiful or horrible dreams. Daydreams or daymares. And that gives us an experience of life as being heaven or hell. But then we wake back up to life as it is, which is neither heaven nor hell. It's just life. It's just being alive, the form life takes through us. And there's a simplicity to that, and there's an ordinariness to that, and there's a beauty to that. So I will not be live next week, but if you would like to listen to me anyways, come to Ojai and come listen to me there. So I am going to be doing a retreat with my colleagues, Dr. Dickon Bettinger and Natasha Swerdloff, authors of the book Coming Home, which is one of my favorite 3P books, in Ojai, California. And if you want to learn more about that retreat, it's called Silent Mind, Beautiful Feeling. Go to michaelneal.org/silent. And I think we still have a couple of actual rooms left, but we also have a day pass where you can just come and stay off the property and join us for the actual retreat. So that is what I will be up to then. Also have some other cool things coming up in April. I'm doing a small group here in LA called Infinite Potential, Infinite Possibilities. And then I'm doing another one in London in May. Those groups, particularly the London ones, tend to sell out early. So if you want to get in on that, go to michaelneal.org/infinite. And that's about all I got for today. So I hope you've enjoyed the show. I actually have enjoyed today's show tremendously. And if you're not sure what to do next, just tune into your inner GPS. Have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.